Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the 2 Ashwini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. Purport. The description of the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead made in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is further explained here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The description in the Bhagavad Gita 11:30 runs as follows. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people in your blazing mouths and covering all the universe by your immeasurable rays. Scorching the world, you are manifest. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of the Bhagavad Gita. Both of them are the science of Krishna, the absolute truth, and so they are interdependent. The conception of the Virat Purusha, or the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord, is said to include all the dominating demigods as well as the dominated living beings. Even the minutest part of a living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all the other parts and parcels, as much as watering the root of a tree distributes energy to all of the tree's other parts. Consequently, for a materialist also, worship of the universal gigantic form of the Lord leads one to the right path. One need not risk being misled by approaching many demigods for fulfillment of different desires. The living entity is the Lord. Sorry, the real entity is the Lord himself, and all others are imaginary, for everything is included in him only. Indradayo bahava ahurusra karno deshas srotra mamusha shabdaha nasachita sra paramasyanase granosya gando mukam agniritaha. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the 2 Ashwini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Avancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Eva Cha Patitanam Pavani Pyo Vaishnavi Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So my thanks for the opportunity to say something, and my apologies for my lack of ability. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages speak the Bhagavatam according to their realization, just as birds fly in the sky according to their realization. Naba patanchatma samam patatunas tatasamam vishnugatim vipaschitaha. So this bird, I'm the bird today, and I don't fly very high, so you'll have to forgive me for this. So it's interesting how, if you look at the education system in the UK, so all the primary schools, they all teach religious education, and they teach Hinduism. The secondary schools do as well. And the teachers have a problem understanding Hinduism. So they're always coming, they come to the Hare Krishna movement, and they ask us, can you explain Hinduism in simple terms? It's very difficult to understand. And conceptually, it is a lot harder to understand than some other religions. Jesus is the only way, very easy to grasp, and if you take that into your heart, you'll make good spiritual advancement. Or you can say, the Lord has no form, therefore Krishna's not God. Right? If you're a Muslim, that's what you think. It's very simple, very straightforward, there's no nuance, there's no subtlety about it. They don't understand the difference between a idol and a deity that is authorized through parampara. They can't distinguish between the two. We say, yes, you're right, the Lord has no form, but he also has form. Or we say, the Lord is unborn, but he's also born. And these contradictions, for them, they are simply contradictions. But for us, it is achintya bheda bheda tattva, one and different. There are so many nuances. So if we look at this purport, once again we see nuance. We see worship of the demigods, then we see, as mentioned in the purport, then we see the Virat Rup, and then we have discussion of the transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna. So why is this Bhagavatam teaching so many things? Why even teach the Virat Rup? There's a whole chapter, it's called First Step in God Realization. Why are they teaching the Virat Rup? We don't worship the Virat Rup here. Prabhupada said, if you want to worship the Virat Rup, that's fine, but how are you going to put a garland on the Virat Rup? This is the problem, you see. Or it's kept here, the Virat Purusha. So, I mean, I remember one famous Muslim preacher. So he was talking about the Vedas. And he said, okay, if we're going to discuss the Vedas, we will ignore the bits that contradict each other. So he takes all the contradictory statements of the Vedas and see what's left, and then we'll discuss what's left. But that is how you approach the Vedas from the outside. That is a misconception about what the Vedas are. Now let me give an example. Suppose you have a doctor. So one patient comes to the doctor. The doctor prescribes some paracetamol, as they always do, right? If you go to a hospital, they always try and give you paracetamol, isn't it? You don't actually mind a little bit of pain, but they have to say, oh, you must be in pain. Have a paracetamol, as if somehow pain relief is why you come. But most people don't come for pain relief. They're intelligent. They come for their health. So why would you take a pain relief, especially if it's not good for your kidneys, right? Why would you do it? You'd only do it if you're suffering. Anyway, so another person comes to the doctor, and then the doctor prescribes, what else do we do? Something for antifungus on your feet or something, right? Something completely different. Now, you don't say, this doctor is not scientific because he's given two different diagnoses. He's given two different treatments. You don't say that, do you? You don't say, oh, that's a contradiction. This can't be a bona fide doctor because he gave paracetamol to one person and he gave some antifungicide to another one. We don't say that's contradictory, that's false. But so why then do we do that when people approach the Vedas? It's because they don't understand what the Vedas are. One time, Srila Prabhupada had a disciple who was reading very esoteric stuff, or he was trying to get into very high topics. So Prabhupada chastised him. And then he said, but Prabhupada, what I'm reading is in your books. And Prabhupada said, it may be in my books, but you have to take what is prescribed for you. As the spiritual master will teach you what part of the Vedas to read, or what part of Srimad Bhagavatam to read, is according to the prescription of the spiritual master. In other words, Prabhupada was saying, my books are like the drugstore. There are so many treatments for so many different people, but you have to take the treatment that's important for you. Okay? So that is what the Vedas are. They're like a drugstore. Different instructions for different people. So when people come and say, oh, it's contradictory, it's because they've not understood what it is. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Kamas tais tai rita jnana prabhajantena devata. Tam tam niya mamastaya prakricha niyata svaya. Those who are bewildered by material desires worship the demigods. Yeah, they worship the demigods. And they are controlled by their own material nature. So therefore, we see demigod worship in the Vedas. And it's to help people who have that particular nature. And then we have the Virat Rup. So in this particular purport, Prabhupada is making the point that the Virat Rup is a higher conception than the worship of the demigods. So he's recommending it. Better than worship of the demigod is worshiping the Virat Rup. And the Virat Rup is said to be the arms of the Lord. So the demigods are said to be the arms of the Virat Purusha. You see? And then Prabhupada slips in the higher form of worship, his eternal transcendental form, Lord Sri Krishna. So we understand a hierarchy here, hierarchy of worship. But even that is not the highest worship. What is higher than worship of Lord Krishna? Worship of Radharani? And any higher? Worship of the devotees? Yes. Worship of his representative? Worship of the guru? Yes. Worship of the... They're all correct answers, right? So, there's a verse in the 8th canto. Tapyanti loka tapena sadavo prayasho janaha paramanandaradhanam purushasakilatmanaha. The highest form of worship is worship of the living entities by undergoing austerity. Tapyanti means austerity. Tapyanti loka tapena. Why? Loka tapena means the suffering of others. So if we have the mood, all out here in this word of verse is a place of parts and parcels of Krishna and their suffering due to conditioned life. To serve these people by giving them the highest transcendental signs, paramaradhanam taddi, paramaradhana. Paramaradhana means the highest form of worship. Or another example, aradhananam sarvesham vishnu radhanam param, tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Lord Shiva tells Parvati, the highest form of worship is worship of Vishnu, and higher than even the worship of Vishnu is worship of the devotee of Vishnu. You see? So we can worship the devotees, or we can serve suffering humanity by giving them Krishna consciousness, which is what Prabhupada's movement's all about. These are the highest forms of worship. Okay? So that's interesting. So that's the hierarchy. Now in the purport, Prabhupada says, and this is referring to a famous verse, and I'll ask you what it is. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all the other parts and parcels, as much as watering the root of a tree distributes energy to all the tree's other parts. So, which verse in the Bhagavatam is that referring to? It's actually the Narad Muni speaking to the Prachitas. You can repeat with me. I'm sure some of you know it. Yata taror mula nasechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo paharat pranopaharas chate tendrianam taitaiva sarvarhanam achutecha. Just as by watering the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished, just as by providing food to the stomach, all the senses are enlivened. In the same way, if we worship Achyuta, which is Krishna, then everyone is automatically satisfied and automatically worshipped. You see? So we don't have to worry about separately worshipping the demigods. Did the Pandavas worship the demigods? Anyone know? I'll tell you a story of when they did worship the demigods. So when the Pandavas were exiled into the forest, a group of Brahmanas, because they loved Yudhisthira Maharaj, they wanted to accompany the Pandavas into the forest. And Yudhisthira Maharaj had a dilemma. He wanted to serve the Brahmins, but how could he? He didn't have the facility to do so. How could he feed all the Brahmins? So a Rishi, Daumya Rishi, he advised Yudhisthira Maharaj, worship the sun god and your problem will be solved. So Yudhisthira, he went into the Ganges and he offered prayers, fasted for several days, offered continuous prayers to the sun god, and finally the sun god appeared before Yudhisthira Maharaj and he gave him a copper plate. He said, this plate will provide unlimited food until the time when Draupadi takes her food. So from that day onwards, whenever the Pandavas were cooking, or whenever Draupadi was cooking, they would provide unlimited food to whoever wanted it from this copper plate. And then when Draupadi would eat, the plate would provide no more food, you see. So then there was once a little intrigue. Duryodhana, he knew about this, and he had a plan to get the Pandavas cursed. He arranged that Durvasa Muni, along with his disciples, would visit the Pandavas after Draupadi had eaten, and therefore they would not have any food and they would be angry. And he figured out if Durvasa Muni gets angry with the Pandavas, he'll curse the Pandavas. So how many disciples does Durvasa Muni have? 40,000. That's interesting. The reason I ask is, you know, in Prabhupada says different things in different places. In the Nectar of Devotion, or in the first canto, in the fourth canto, in some of his conversations. Sometimes he says 10,000. Sometimes he says 60,000. So, I don't know the solution to this. Anyway. Huh? But we can go with 40. It's somewhere in between, right? Anyway. So what happened, when they turned up, the Pandava said, oh, thank you for coming. Please take bath. And then as they were taking bath, they started to panic. What are we going to do? We have no food. Draupadi's already eaten. So when this pastime is described in the Nectar of Devotion, it's given as an example of how the Lord is omniscient. You see? So he knew the anxiety that Draupadi was in. So Krishna appeared on the spot and he said, check the pots, see if there's any leftovers. And they said, well, there's no leftovers. We've already washed the pots. So no, you check. So they checked and they found a little bit of shak, a little bit of vegetable. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And Krishna, he took that piece of vegetable and he ate it and he became satisfied. And therefore it said, Yasmin Tushti Jagat Tushtam. When Krishna's satisfied, everyone becomes satisfied. This is the meaning of Yata Taror Mula Nasichanina. So just at that time, when Krishna's hunger was satisfied, all the followers of Durvasa Muni, they all became satisfied. And then they became afraid. Well, we've been invited for prasadam, and we're not hungry. So they fled. They decided, rather than dishonor our guests, they will flee. So Prabhupada says, Name Bhakta Pranashyati. This is evidence that my devotee never perishes, you see. So that is the purport of this. So I will tell you a nice sloka. I was discussing how the Vedic literature is like a drugstore, different prescriptions for different people. So there is actually a verse that says exactly this. Vyamohaya chara charasya jagatas te te purana gamas tam tam eva hidevakam parimikam jalpantu kalpa vadi siddhante punar eka eva bhagavan vishnu samasta gama vyapareshu vivechane vyatikaram niteshu nischayate. This was spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, I believe. It says, and it's from the, I think it's from the Padma Purana, and it states, for the purpose of bewildering the living entities, the Puranas will say various things. One will say, this god is supreme. One will say, that god is supreme. Actually, they're just demigods. One will say Shiva's supreme. One will say Durga's supreme. One will say Indra's supreme, like this. They will say so many things. However, Siddhante Punar Eka Eva Bhagavan Vishnu. In Siddhanta, when you take all the scriptures together, there is Eka Eva Bhagavan. There's only one God. We're actually monotheists after all. It's just you can't tell because you don't understand that it's not all truth. It's a drugstore, right? You cannot understand it. But Eka Eva Bhagavan Vishnu. How do you get that conclusion? Vyapareshu Vivechane Vyatikaram. You have to take all the scriptures and do a proper analysis according to the rules of grammar, rules of logic and everything, and it all comes out as Vishnu is the supreme. And of course, by Vishnu, we mean Vishnu. We also mean Krishna. We also mean Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. You know, it's hard to explain to people the altar. You know, there's a lot of tattva. If you just look at the altar, you go, you have Shaktiman, like Krishna, Ram, Lakshman, Gonitai. Then you have Shakti, Sita, and Radharani. You have Hanuman. What tattva is Hanuman? Shiva tattva? I don't know. Is he Shiva tattva? Is he Jiva tattva? Is he Sandini? You know, some of Krishna's associates are Jivas and some of them aren't. They're expansions of the Sandini Shakti, you see. So there's all these tattvas. And then we tell them, but actually, Krishna, Lakshman, Ram, Gornitai, they're all the same tattva. They're energetic. Krishna Purna, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man. Radha's the Purna Shakti and Krishna's the Purna Shakti Man. But then we can say, but actually for Lord Chaitanya, he is Shakti Man, but in a sense he's Shakti and Shakti Man combined because he's Radha Krishna combined. And then we can go into all this and it's very difficult to understand, right? For someone who comes and thinks you are polytheists, right? I see many forms on your altar, right? But it's not like that at all. There's all this tattva that's going into it. Anyway, that was what I wanted to say today. Thank you very much. And I'm going to leave some time. And if there's any questions, I'll take them. And if there's not, I'll just say something else. Ruben Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Could you just elaborate? Is the rat root material or is it real? Just elaborate.
Yeah, so Prabhupada describes it as an imaginary form. So imaginary means it's actually made of the material elements. But it's subtle. It's like, for example, asking, what about the deity forms? Are they made of material elements or not? It's an eternal form, but it has a beginning and an end, apparently, in this world. So the Virat Rup is a subtle conception, which is why I can't properly answer your question, so I'll just kind of give some answers. But it Prabhupada does say it's an imaginary form. He does say it's a material, it's made of material elements. So if the at the end of creation, what happens to the Virat Rup? Is it eternal or does it disappear, reappear? So yeah. But yeah, it's classed as a bona fide form of worship.
And you were talking about a hierarchy. Could you just explain that hierarchy again?
Okay. Which reminds me, so I gave the example of how Yudhisthira worshipped the sun god. Now, the sun god in the Brahma Samhita is said to be Samasta Sura Murti, the embodiment of all the demigods. So demigod worship is generally said by Prabhupada, we don't worship the demigods. But you will find occasionally he will say, we can worship the demigods because we see them as part and parcel of Krishna. So if we worship the demigods according to the conception of the Brahma Samhita, and you'll find the demigods are described there all as servants of Krishna, then you're worshipping servants of Krishna. Therefore, it's Vaishnava Seva, right? So the hierarchy that is referred to in this purport, it said, worship of the Virat Rup is higher than the worship of the demigods. My understanding is because we've gone to the platform of there being one thing to worship rather than many. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Jnana Yagyena, do you remember the verse? Yajati Mamupasati, Ekatvena, Pritatvena, Bahuda Vishvatomukam. Jnana Yagyena Chapyanyi, Yajanto Mamupasati. Yeah. Some people worship through the jnana yagyena, through the sacrifice of knowledge. Some worship me. Krishna says they worship me, ekatvena in oneness, pratakvena in many. So that's, for example, demigod worship. So even in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that worship of the impersonal or worship of the demigods, these are all worship of Krishna. Ekatvena, even worship of oneself. It's like the ultimate in narcissism, right? You worship yourself as God. That's still classed in the Bhagavad Gita as worship of Krishna, but in the wrong way. So the hierarchy is worship of the demigods, then higher than that is worship of the Virat Rup, and then higher than that is worship of the Vishnu Tattvas. And of course, the highest form of worship of Vishnu Tattva in this age, in particular, is worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the hierarchy I understand it.
Thanks so much for your class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
So, you know, you gave the explanation and also quoted Shastra that the highest form of worship is going to spread the knowledge.
Yeah, spread the knowledge, yeah. I'll repeat because it's not, if you're not on.
So the highest form of worship is to spread the knowledge.
Highest form of worship is to spread the knowledge.
But simultaneously, we're talking about how the Vedas is acting as like giving based on what they're ready to take.
And simultaneously, the Vedas are giving things based on what people are ready to take.
Yes,
yeah.
And we're going out to dispute this knowledge to people who have probably established some form of faith from the Vedas.
Yeah.
By asking a deeper evolution of consciousness, when they're really satisfied with what they can take, are we causing them a disservice?
Okay. Are we agitating people by giving them something that they maybe don't want because they're already happy with what they have? Yeah, so that's an example in the Bhagavad Gita. Nabudhi bedam janayed agyanam karma sanginam. Do not disturb the intelligence of those who are attached to fruitive activities. Karma sangi. Those who are attached to karma, do not do buddhi beda. Do not spoil them, right? It's very... we have to be very careful. I do feel sometimes we bring people and we have a sweet relationship and then we hammer them over the head with some philosophy and we create a division and then they get a little bit upset and they leave. isn't it? I mean, I started feeling Bodhi Beta when I first joined the Hare Krishnas because I was into Buddhism, and then they started criticizing Buddhism, and I was thinking, but you're making a division. You're dividing into them and us, and you're not seeing the good in Buddhism, the compassion, and I couldn't understand it, you know. So then that's one aspect, and then the other aspect is we're going to give something higher, right? So the thing is this, it's like if you're someone's on a ladder, right, it's okay to cut away their step as long as they can get onto the next step, right? And that's the answer. So can you bring them up to the next platform? If you can, then you should cut away what they already have and take them to the higher conception. And if you can't do that, then you're doing a disservice because you're actually disturbing them and you're disturbing their position, but you're not able to give them the higher position. So it's really a question of what your qualification is. As Prabhupada would often say, when people, he would meet Christians and Muslims, and he would say, you know, this is very good what you're doing. Carry on doing what you're doing. This is very good. You see, so should we or shouldn't we? We do both. We have a dilemma. We want to elevate people, but we don't want to disturb them at the same time.
To some degree, when you're preaching or we're talking about Krishna consciousness, we're creating a gap. A marketer, we're creating a gap that we're telling them this knowledge, this practice can fill. So if we create a gap and we don't give them how to fill that gap, then they live with the left of frustration.
Yes.
And trying to do for different ways to fill the gap, or questioning what they've understood fills the gap is not fulfilling. So.
Exactly. And I think the answer really is, because we're practicing Buddha Yoga, Krishna will empower our speech if we're sincere, because Krishna's speaking through us. So if we're able to actually elevate someone, it's because Krishna's acting through us. And if it goes wrong, if it goes pear-shaped, then we can think our ego got in the way. We didn't actually hear what Krishna wanted to speak through us. So we have to be transmitters of what Krishna wants us to speak, because he's the intelligence, Buddhi, Buddhi Matam Maham. He's the intelligence of the intelligent. So that's why we should pray that we're instruments. Nimitta matra bhava savya sach. Become instruments of Krishna, then that problem will not arise. Jagapriya Mataji wants to say something. Yes. Pandyas, yes.
So is there a religion
that worships the universal form? Yes, it's called Extinction Rebellion. And they are higher than the fruit of workers who say, I can't stand Distinction Rebellion because they caused a traffic jam and I didn't get my pay, as if somehow the wage system of human beings for the next few years is more important than saving the planet in the long term, right? So it's a higher conception. Yeah, there's the pantheists, or Virat Rup, the pantheists. And then if Vaishnavs, we could probably call ourselves panentheists. Panentheist means, yes, we agree with pantheism, that everything is Krishna, but there's more to Krishna than everything. See, pantheists say the universe is Krishna, or universe is God, and God is the universe. We say the universe is God, but God's more than the universe. So panentheism, the universe is within the Lord. So therefore the Virat Purusha is an aspect of Krishna. So yes, it's God worship. And I call it pantheism, and I think Prabhupada does as well in that particular case of the Virat Purusha. Okay, that's another answer. Let's talk about Ruben Prabhu's brought up an interesting point, and I've mentioned this before. Because what is a progression? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a progression within demigod worship. Durga is worship of Shakti. Shakti is the scientist, the worship of the energy. And higher than that is the Ganapachas worship humanitarian. Higher than that is the Shaivites who worship the Jiva. Higher than that is the worship of Vishnu. Did I mention all of them? Surya. Surya's after Durga. Durga's worship of the energy. Surya is a higher conception because you're not satisfied with the energy. You want to know where the energy came from, the source, right? So you worship of the source. And then higher than that is the Ganapacha, the worship of Ganesh, the living entities. You start to worship people rather than just dull matter. Anyway, and then the Jiva, and then Vishnu. Gargamuni Prabhu, did you raise your hand? Did you raise your hand? Okay, okay. Prabhuji.
I heard you mention the worship of the devotees.
Yes.
Is the highest point at some point.
Yes. Okay, so there's a in the ninth canto there's a pastime that explains this when once again Durvasa Muni offends Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj is a devotee of Krishna, therefore a devotee of Vishnu, therefore he has Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra is protecting Ambarish Maharaj. So when Durvasa Muni, who's a Brahman, who's higher by caste than Ambarish, who's a Kshatriya, The Brahmin thought he would punish the Kshatriya, but this Kshatriya was a pure devotee, so it backfired. No caste system here. So then the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord chased Durvasa Muni, and he's trying to take shelter of Brahma and Shiva and so forth. And he even comes to Vishnu himself and says, you know, please help me. And what does Vishnu say? He says, Aham bhakta paratino yasvatantra iva dvija sadubir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya. He says, I am controlled by my devotees. In fact, the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So, basically Vishnu is saying, I can't, you know, the devotees are my heart. If you've offended a devotee, I can't help you. I have no desire to help you because my devotees are higher than me. That's his conception. So you want to know, why is worship of the devotee higher than worship of Krishna? He says, because Krishna makes the rules. And for Krishna, the devotees are more dear to him than his very self. You see? Krishna loves his devotee more than he loves himself. So he would, of course, he wouldn't give up his life for his devotee, but because he's eternal. But he would if he could. He would sacrifice his life for his devotee. That's his heart. The devotees are the heart of Krishna. So if you offend a devotee, you're really hurting the heart of Krishna. Krishna's not his own. The heart of Krishna is the devotee, not himself. So actually, how you deal with a devotee is more sensitive than how you deal even with Krishna. So it said, Haristani aparadi tarip harinam, tomastani aparadi nahi paritram. Narottam Das Thakur says, an offence to Krishna, can be nullified by chanting, but an offence to the devotee will not be nullified even if you chant Hare Krishna mantra. So the platform of the devotee is so, so high. That's why we have to be very careful how we deal with devotees. Okay? Prayojana Prabhu.
The action I think of is Arjuna and Kunti. They want to stay with Krishna wherever he is in the material existence.
Mm.
They're not looking for going to the spiritual world. They just want to be with Krishna in a place that's pretty hellish. So, in that way, and there's, in the spiritual world, there's no preaching. So, you know, they all worship Krishna, they all love Krishna, but There's this extra dimension of serving Krishna in a, what is, you could say, a hellish situation. They're willing to suffer, and that's the highest point.
Yes, and that's going back to the eighth canto, Tapyanti Loka Tapena, to suffer for the sake of suffering humanity is the highest form of worship. So yeah, that's a good example. Thank you. Okay, shall we adjourn? Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Gaura Premanandi.